The Trouble with Horses. Chapter 3. Days of sunshine and rain alternated in the week ahead, but Elizabeth's mood remained black. Looking out the window of her shared bedroom with Jane, she watched as the carriage took her eldest sister to her second invitation of tea at Netherfield Park with Miss Bingley and Mrs. Hurst. The invitation was never extended to herself, and Elizabeth hated to admit she longed to see Mr. Darcy just one more time to apologize for her haughty words. The visit to Charlotte's had been fruitless, as Elizabeth endured an hour of relentless teasing by the Lucas boys, all refusing to call her anything but Queen Elizabeth of the Amazon, and pretending every piece of ribbon or trimming Charlotte was using to refresh a bonnet was a snake trying to kill them. She heartily wished there had been real snakes to bite them, and she wouldn't have lifted a finger to save any of them. Charlotte was kind enough to offer Elizabeth a ride home after the visit, but she had missed the departure of the Bingleys and Darcy. That was 6 days ago, and this morning she was going to stop her sulking and walk into town, if only to see if the bookstore had any new offerings. Wiping from her face the last remnants of her sorrow, Elizabeth refreshed her dress and searched for one of her sisters to accompany her journey. "Elizabeth, have a care to not clamber down the stairs. Oh, my poor nerves." Mrs. Bennet lounged on the sofa in the parlor, fanning herself while keeping a keen eye on the lane out front. Elizabeth sighed and smoothed her skirts before entering the parlor proper. "Kitty?" Her younger sister looked up from the stitching in her lap. "Would you care to walk to Meryton with me?" Kitty, the second youngest Bennet daughter, properly named Catherine at birth, wrinkled up her nose. "You only like the bookstore." She returned her attention to her stitches. "Well, yes, I do plan to stop in the bookstore, but I also hope to retrim one of my old bonnets, and thought you could help me select the ribbon? I'll give you the extra." "Ooh, take me, Lizzie, take me. Miss Letty has just received the loveliest shade of pink that would go perfectly with my complexion." Lydia pranced about the room in exuberance, completely forgetting that Elizabeth would be picking out ribbon to go with her own complexion, not Lydia's, who had the darkest features of the Bennet daughters. "Lydia, Aunt Phillips is to arrive any moment. No, I really must insist you girls stay home today." Mrs. Bennet had paid calls around the county just yesterday with the daring tales of Elizabeth's most valiant rescue of one of the richest men in London. She made sure to include how the poor man in his delirious state repeated her daughter's name over and over again. She was sure that a proposal of marriage was just around the corner, though the small voice in her head reminded her that Mr. Darcy had not come to call since his accident. But this little annoyance was quieted by the jubilation Mrs. Bennet felt as she remembered that Jane was continually invited to Netherfield Park, so perhaps Mr. Darcy liked her prettiest daughter instead. Either way, the prospects for her girls were looking up, and she was sure to tell every one of her acquaintance of her expectations. Without fail, a carriage rolled up, and Elizabeth recognized it as her aunt's. Exasperated it was too late to make her escape, she found a seat by the window to pay courtesy. A slender woman of nearly 40 alighted from the carriage, with her smile fixed in place, as she steadied her hat. The pale lavender cover clashed with her wine-red dress, but then again, Aunt Phillips wasn't known for her keen fashion sense. Elizabeth watched as the arrival progressed through the typical pleasantries, and she mostly closed her mind to the gossip the two former gardener sisters swapped freely with each meeting. After a few minutes, Elizabeth was able to excuse herself to see about the tea tray. The departure wasn't long enough, as by the time she returned, the talk had turned to a most uncomfortable subject. Humiliated, Elizabeth's hands shook as she served her aunt and mother before finding her seat again. "And I said to Lady Lucas that it was impossible. No niece of mine would dare to enter the bed of an unmarried man." "Of course not. Lizzie read to Mr. Darcy in his ill state and helped treat his most violent fever with cold cloths. She saved his life." Mrs. Bennet sniffed in indignation at the gall of Lady Lucas to spread such lies about her daughter. Just like a mother of a shelved daughter to sow sour grapes about the girl still able to catch a man's eye. Aunt Phillips stirred her cup slowly, keeping a keen eye on Elizabeth, who was redder than a beet in the face. So Elizabeth was never alone in Mr. Darcy's room? Flustered, Mrs. Bennet took the bait, never with the door closed. Elizabeth cringed. It was all Caroline Bingley's fault. She was certainly the reason these rumors were running wild, knowing Mr. Darcy would never offer for a Bennet daughter with her poor status and lack of a dowry. Even if she wasn't so poor, how could he, when he was completely indifferent to her? "Kitty, Lydia, if we leave now, we might still make the ribbon shop before it closes, Aunt Phillips." Elizabeth gave a curtsy and found her way to the front door, stunned by her aunt's revelation. If Lady Lucas was talking about her, it certainly was spread all over the county. No one would tell Lady Lucas such gossip until last, knowing how close the two families were. Shame gurgled in her stomach as Elizabeth started down the path to Meryton, while her two youngest sisters fell into step behind her and giggled most of the mile-long walk. Elizabeth's frustration carried to her feet, making them swifter than usual. It was not long before she could hear Lydia's shrill voice call out, "Lord Lizzie, slow down, we don't walk as fast as you." Elizabeth shrugged off the warning and kept her step. She didn't know why she felt such a sense of foreboding with each step. But if the whole town did think she was a fallen woman, she elected to learn it firsthand with her chin held high.
"Get your mutton, get your mutton."
A young boy rang a simple bell outside the pungent-smelling butcher shop, and Elizabeth recognized him as young Arnold Masters, the precocious 6-year-old son of the butcher. Passing the boy on the clapboard walkway, Elizabeth pressed a penny to the boy's hand with a smile as she continued her walk to the bookshop. Grinning, Arnold raised his hand holding the bell and clanged it about most viciously as he waved to the nicest Bennet sister, at least by his account. "Get your mutton, get your mutton," he resumed yelling as Lydia and Kitty passed him without a second glance.
The two younger girls stopped outside of the bookshop to gawk at the many militiamen loitering about town.
Waving her handkerchief, Lydia attracted the attention of a Mr. Denny and his companion, who quickly crossed the street to talk. Elizabeth eyed her two sisters carefully, and upon hearing Lydia talk about dancing with Mr. Denny at the last assembly, she rolled her eyes and entered the bookshop on her own. Another bell over the door signaled her arrival, and old Mr. Hopkins looked up from the book he was reading at the counter. "There's nothing new, Miss Elizabeth, since last week. I won't get a new shipment of books until next month." Mr. Hopkins' much wrinkled brown eyes twinkled at his favorite young customer. He watched her as she curtsied to him and walked to a different section of the shop than her usual perusal, the latest fashion magazines from London. Fitzwilliam Darcy passed the two flirtatious girls he recognized from the Bennet home with a look of disgust. The taller man in militia regimentals was a soul he wished to never spy again in his general direction, and with all of his polite manners he possessed, he bowed to the younger ladies. "Miss Kitty, Miss Lydia. Ooh, Mr. Darcy, are you here to meet Lizzie? How romantic, a secret rendezvous." Kitty Bennet pretended to swoon like a heroine in a novel, garnering a loud laugh from her younger sister. Perplexed, Darcy raised an eyebrow at the ladies and cleared his throat. "I did not know you or your sisters planned to patron the bookshop today. I find the library at Netherfield to be sparse, as many leased estates are, and hope to find pleasurable reading material inside." How surprising, the library at Netherfield Park cannot live up to the exacting standards of a Darcy. The tall man with Denny spoke, with a challenging glint in his eye. Mr. Darcy stared hard at the man, remained silent, and turned instead to the ladies to give a farewell bow before pulling the door of the shop open. "Mr. Wickham, the most serious Mr. Darcy cannot be teased," Lydia squealed, the last words Darcy heard before the door closed behind him. Removing his hat, his eyes adjusted to the dimness, and he sniffed in response to the flurry of dust particles floating in the ray of sunlight before him. He turned to the counter to address the shopkeeper. "I wondered if you carried Psyche by Mary Tighe." Elizabeth Bennet flinched at the melodious baritone voice floating in the air behind her. It could be no other than Mr. Darcy, and she once again cursed fate that even her attempts to forget the man threw her right into his path. Taking deep breaths, Elizabeth resolved to continue her shopping and ignore him entirely. "I just so happen to have a copy, sir. My favorite customer is here, and she highly recommended the book after reading it herself, and so I purchased a spare." Mr. Darcy raised his eyebrows at the bookshop owner that his favorite customer would be female. "Yes, I hope to present the volume to my sister when I next saw her," Darcy finished, as Mr. Hopkins vacated the counter and began to walk towards the back of the shop. That's when he saw her.
Of course it would be her, the vixen Bennett's sister who challenged him during his recovery. Even now his right hand ached as it recovered, and he had not managed to stop dreaming of those crystal-clear blue eyes, examining a pattern for a rather low-cut muslin dress with rosettes along the shoulder. Elizabeth could feel a steely gaze behind her. It was ages before she put the pattern back and turned around, nearly knocking into Mr. Darcy's chest. She stood there for a moment, her nose just an inch away from a few layers of cloth and his skin, inhaling an intoxicating scent of spice and sandalwood.
Before raising her gaze to lock with his, Mr. Hopkins stepped out of the back room with the requested book just at that moment.
"I hope your sister will enjoy." Both Mr. Darcy and Elizabeth turned in the same direction and bumped into one another with multiple apologies. Smiling, Mr. Hopkins covered his mouth with his hand, laughing at the two young people before him, trying to cover their embarrassment. He walked over to the counter, and Mr. Darcy followed him to finish the transaction. Pressing multiple coins into Mr. Hopkins' hand, Darcy quietly whispered he would gladly purchase any magazine the young woman chose.
"You mean Miss Elizabeth?"
Mr. Darcy nodded and gave a pert nod to the bookstore owner before bowing to Miss Elizabeth and exiting the shop. Once outside, he purposely ignored the younger Bennett sisters and their company to cross the road and make one last errand. Left in the store, Elizabeth hastily grabbed the issue with the muslin pattern and walked up to the counter. She pulled out her reticule to pay, when Mr. Hopkins handed the magazine back to her with a father's prideful gaze. "It's been taken care of." Confused, Elizabeth shook her head and tried again to hand Mr. Hopkins her coins, only to be refused once more. To add insult to injury, Mr. Hopkins walked away from the counter towards the back of his shop, humming an old Irish air. With her magazine held close to her chest, Elizabeth left the shop with her cheeks burning. Why had Mr. Darcy bought her a gift? Was this his way of apologizing? Why hadn't he said anything to her? It was almost perplexing, and Elizabeth found herself more frustrated that she couldn't give the man up in her heart or her mind. Practically dragging her sisters to the hat shop and away from the friendly officers, Elizabeth bought more ribbon than she originally expected, including a yard of the bright pink ribbon she planned to just give evenly to both of her younger sisters. With any luck, the distractions of ribbon and military officers would keep her sisters from talking about running into Mr. Darcy. As the girls exited the hat shop with their wares in hand, a familiar set of eyes balefully caught Elizabeth's as Mr. Darcy's horse was still tied up outside of the bookshop. With a rueful smile, Elizabeth patted the horse's muzzle and stroked the dark fur with her gloved hand. "How are you, old boy? Still galloping down hills as wild as the wind?" She laughed as the horse snorted into her hand. "Lizzie," Lydia whined and blew out a full breath to set her mouth in the most perfect pout only the baby of a family can perform. Elizabeth leaned closer to the horse and pressed her forehead to his muzzle. It was this vista of Elizabeth greeting his horse that Mr. Darcy spied upon leaving the inn that stopped him in his boots. His neck felt suddenly very hot, and he tugged at his offending cravat for relief. He shook his head and began his way back to his horse once he saw Miss Elizabeth turn to leave. He wasn't sure what came over him at the bookstore. To buy a gift for a woman so wholly unrelated to him was a very serious matter, but something about that woman was bewitching in the most unsettling manner. He urged his horse in the opposite way of the walking Bennett sisters and began a gallop as soon as he was on the outskirts of town. Taking the longer road around the shire, he would make it back just in time to refresh himself for dinner. The Bennett sisters were a few yards down the road when a most shrill whistle rent the air, and Lydia and Kitty turned around and waved. Elizabeth dreaded turning around herself, but did so to begin chiding the two younger girls for stopping and turning at such impolite behavior. "A lady does not respond to a whistle from a man," she hissed. "Oh, shove off, Lizzie. You have your bow and we have ours," Lydia cried triumphantly, as the two officers hastened to catch up to the ladies. Lydia happily took the arm of Mr. Denny, and Kitty expected to take the arm of Mr. Wickham, and was severely put out when she was ignored by the taller man, and instead noticed he immediately attempted a conversation with Elizabeth.
"I do not believe I've had the honor of an introduction." Mr. Wickham employed a bow with a flourish, making Lydia laugh and Kitty pout, by crossing her arms in front of her. Elizabeth eyed the gentleman with a wary eye and shrugged. She immediately turned away and began to walk.
After all, she was not introduced to the man, and she had endured her limit a strange behavior for the day.
Lizzie, don't be so missish. This is Mr. Wickham, an intimate friend of Mr. Denny. Both are officers in the militia.
Lydia looked up at Mr. Denny to flash him a most catty smile.
Instead of greeting the man, Elizabeth kept walking and dragged her hand across the browned autumn grass lining the road.
Kitty jumped on the opportunity to attract Mr. Wickham's attention back to herself.
You never told us how you are so well acquainted with Mr. Darcy, Mr. Wickham.
Kitty walked faster to catch up with Mr. Wickham, causing him to look down at the less interesting Bennet sister, and practically forcing him to offer her his arm, which he reluctantly did.
Ah, it's a sad tale, I tell you. Sad only because of the way the story ends.
He shook his head with a grim expression, while simultaneously noticing Miss Elizabeth's attention was caught by her sudden rigid stature, though she continued to knock the stalks of grass.
If you cannot speak of it, we understand, she finally said, firmly, still not looking at the coupled group behind her.
On the contrary, Miss Elizabeth, my childhood at the Darcy estate, Pemberley, was all that was idyllic. Old Mr. Darcy was like a father to me, and he paid for me to attend Cambridge with Fitzwilliam.
The manor house of Longbourn could be seen in the far distance, and Elizabeth felt torn between hearing more about Mr. Darcy's family life and not hearing anything about the man at all.
She heard Kitty ask Mr. Wickham questions, but only vaguely marked the answers as she once more dwelled deeper in her own thoughts. It was only when he described Mr. Darcy cheating him out of a living, to the collective gasps of her sisters, that Elizabeth turned around. Mr. Wickham was stunned by the fierce scrutiny in Miss Elizabeth's face, but he kept the much-practiced, doleful look upon his own countenance.
You are sharing a most personal story for such a lack of intimates in company, Mr. Wickham.
Elizabeth raised an artful eyebrow at the sandy brown-haired man and eyed him carefully up and down, noticing deep scars on his knuckles.
I cannot imagine being so free as to air my personal failures and failings so cavalierly.
Wickham glanced skyward in a feigned attempt at showing emotion and silently counted the seconds. He made it to 2 before his calculated move paid off.
You are one to talk, lecturing poor Mr. Wickham. The whole neighborhood knows you keep throwing yourself at Mr. Darcy and he never comes to call. Of course, Mr. Darcy stole his inheritance. He is not a nice man. Kitty panted after giving her longest tirade to date against another sister. The winds began to pick up, and a chill made Kitty shudder as her older sister remained speechless in front of her.
May I? Mr. Wickham attentively offered Kitty his coat, and the two couples continued to walk on, practically leaving Elizabeth alone on the side of the road.
With no other choice but to follow behind them, even Elizabeth had to admit she too was chilled to the bone by the sudden change in weather. She quickened her pace to surpass the couples, and beat them to the edge of her father's property, at which point she hastened her step to a near jog.
Lizzie, you've returned.
Her father met his wayward daughter at the door to receive a peck on the cheek. He ignored her as she tarried not in the foyer and dashed up the stairs. With a wary eye, Mr. Bennet stepped out to greet the two gentlemen escorting his youngest daughters with a sardonic grin and his hands clasped behind his back. He was never one to forgo a little sport at the expense of a new acquaintance, and his daughter's beaux were his favorite prime prey.